Hello and welcome to Jerry's Pearls. My name is Cookie, and of course, I have Aunt Jerry here with me today. How are you, Aunt Jerry?
Cookie, I am fabulous, dear. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for asking. Hope you're ready for today.
Absolutely.
People can't stay with just one person. Why do you think they cheat?
How much time we got? I think there are a lot of reasons why people cheat.
I got time today.
People cheat out of low self-esteem. People cheat out of not feeling fulfilled, not feeling loved, not feeling seen, not feeling heard. And some just like
variety.
I believe. Yes.
Okay. All right. So a little different today.
Yeah.
A little different tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. So have you ever been cheated on?
Yes, I have.
And how did you handle that?
Not well.
You here now, but that doesn't mean that you couldn't have done some time back then. So did you do any time?
No, because the grace of God, I did not.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, God, for that. But there was a confrontation with the other female. Yes.
Now, that's interesting.
That is interesting.
Okay.
But I did not catch a charge.
Okay.
But there were threats involved.
Okay, so let me ask you, did you say something to him or was it just her?
Yes and yes.
Okay.
I'm an equal opportunity. I talked to both of them.
Okay.
Yes.
Because, you know, people would debate, why would you go to the woman when it's your man who cheated on you? Now, let me ask you, was this your boyfriend, your husband? What type of relationship or situationship? Because people get crazy about situationships.
This was my husband. I went to the next level. Because I felt like he wasn't hearing me, ignoring me, and I wasn't having it.
Oh.
Okay.
That's interesting. Okay. So, you want to share the interaction? If you don't, that's fine. Or the...
Well, no, we can share it. We were all members of the same church and in leadership positions in the church.
Oh, my.
And everybody thought I was so naive and so stupid because the whole church was aware of the affair. And they thought that I didn't know. So... when I talked to my former spouse, told him I was aware and that I needed him to end the relationship. He said that he would, but he didn't because she continued to call our home. And just when I answered the phone, she just asked for him like I was, you know, a servant or someone. So I went to her and I went to see her on her job. Yes, I did. And I let her know that it was unacceptable for her to continue to pursue my husband and that she needed to talk to someone who knew me a little bit better than she did, because I'm bona fide crazy at that season in my life. You know, I was, and I told her it would not go well for her if she did not leave my husband and my family alone.
I believe it.
So she ignored me, and I had to make a second visit.
Oh.
That's when the threats were involved, because I promised her I would end her life if she did not leave my family, my husband alone. Because, but let me frame that for you, because I was not in a good place in my life. If you asked me today, I would handle it totally differently.
Okay.
But I was struggling in my marriage and feeling like maybe it was my fault. So I'm trying to play defense now.
Okay.
But that's how I handled it then. And she, after the threats, she went to our pastor, who was very good friends with my ex-husband. And she subsequently left the church. So I have no idea where she is. I wish her well. I hope nothing bad happened to her. But it was a difficult time in my life, in my marriage.
Okay. And so you and your husband were able to proceed after this?
For a short period after that. Well, that's not true. We did try. We tried to reconcile. I forgave him. And we were together for 8 years after that. And it was really, really hard. Trying to get past that. And we just were not able to navigate through it because we didn't find out until after the divorce that he also was dealing with some mental things. He was a Vietnam vet and he had kept going to VA trying to get some help for that. So mentally and emotionally, he was in a whole different place. So it was a real complicated and complex scenario that we were trying to navigate through in a marriage. And we both were broken people at the time.
So knowing that, what would you know now? Would you have spent as much time trying to reconcile? Do you think it's worth it? Do you believe that a relationship can survive infidelity?
I believe it can if you are truly committed to your vows and to each other. I believe if I had known what he was dealing with, I perhaps could have helped him find the right help and support, as well as get some for myself. I do believe no one's perfect. We all make missteps and we have lapses in judgment. I am not condoning infidelity, because it happens. And I think sometimes you get caught up in the moment and there is something that happened. There is a trigger, maybe. I'm not quite sure what it is. But I think if you are really committed to that person and realize that just like it was them, it could have easily been you, then there's got to be some room for grace and forgiveness. But there has to be an indicator that I really hear you. I know I've hurt you. I know this was wrong. And this is what we're going to do to move forward. And this is what I'm committed to do to correct that past untrustworthy behavior.
Okay. And so did your husband at the time, did he show remorse?
No.
None at all?
No. Things were very, very tense and uncomfortable between us for a period of time. And then I think we just kind of acted like it didn't happen and tried to go through the motions of being in a marriage. That's why I believe it subsequently did not survive.
Okay. And so him not being remorseful in that moment, how did that make you feel?
Worthless. Not valued at all. Like, he didn't love me. And if you like, because my thing was, if you love me, how could you hurt me? But you can love someone and hurt them because it's not intentional and you're looking for something yourself. If you're broken yourself, you're just trying to find something to make you feel better. But I also had to realize there were some shortcomings on my part in the marriage, because there's never a situation where there's two people that you don't have to own some accountability in how you get to wherever you are. That's not to say it was my fault that he was unfaithful, but perhaps I could have been more attentive to him, seeing that he was struggling with some things and maybe approached it differently. So I think you have to have an open mind to that, an open heart to that, that it could very well have been me and not him.
Okay. So you no remorse, you feeling worthless. So there was always a fear that he would do it again and do it again without any problem. Or any issues?
I don't know if I even looked at it like that. I just looked like he didn't love me. And it wasn't a fear. It was just kind of a resignation that this is not going to work.
Okay.
And I think, you know, I know I stopped putting in the effort to make it work.
Okay. What did your healing journey look like? How did that get started?
My healing journey got started when we had never had any type of physical incidents with us. There was never any domestic violence or anything. It was just the emotional and mental and stuff. But he got very angry one night and it looked like it might get physical. And so I knew that was the time to leave. And once I left, I then went to get some help for someone to help me to see that it was smart to move before it got physical, leave, you know, to make the changes before it got physical. And then I really had to pray and I found people to talk to. I did finally get some help for my healing journey. But the most impactful part of my healing was spending time with God to ask him where I missed it in my marriage. And it led me to a path of talking to young couples and young women who desired to be married, because I asked God to show me everything that I missed. And it was not a pretty picture, because, you know, I was, you know, homemaker, you know, I'm your baby tonight, you know, whatever. And nice home, you know, we have two children that we're raising together. But the truth of the matter is, I was so broken. I couldn't recognize the brokenness in him. So I didn't know how to meet those needs. An example would be for me is, let's say my favorite color is purple. So he would buy me a purple dress. So, but to show my appreciation, I wear the dress frequently. And he would say to me, why are you always wearing that purple dress? So now I'm confused. So I put it in the back of the closet. Then the next few weeks, well, why do you never wear the purple dress? So I felt like I was on quicksand. Like, right. I get in this, and I felt like I got to the place where I couldn't be what he wanted because he didn't know what he wanted. Mm. So it was a vicious cycle, and I didn't see a way out other than separation and divorce.
So did you forgave him?
Yes.
Now, did you forgive?
Not right away.
I was going to ask.
Oh, no.
Did you forgive him in your old way or your new way, meaning your Christian, your ministerial way?
I had to forgive him after spending some serious time with God, because after in the initial separation and divorce, I am not proud of this, but I will tell you truthfully, I used to pray that he would drive off of a bridge. That's how hurt I was, how broken I was. And I read a book by Pastor John Revere called The Bait of Satan. And Pastor Revere shared that he was having some challenges with an individual in his congregation. And he felt he had been so wronged by that person that he could not find it in his heart to forgive that person. And that he was asking God and you know, people would tell him, well, you need to forgive him. You need to let him. He said, I'm not going to forgive him. And he said, and one day he was out on his deck at his home and he was talking to God like, why do I have to be the one to forgive? He was the one that wronged me. And God told him, until you pray into this person's life, everything that you want me to do in your life, you will never be healed and never move forward.
Wow.
And in that moment, I prayed for my ex-husband that God would bless him with long life, with good health, with prosperity. If he desired to be married again, a good mate, a good, you know, help me. And I felt that breaking in my spirit, my breakthrough, my deliverance, you know, to move forward. And after that, we were able to communicate in a way that we became the best of friends.
Oh, wow.
After some years of being divorced. And he used to call me G. So he would say, G, what happened in our marriage? I said, you were crazy. And we didn't know it because he shared that he had finally gotten into a support group at VA. And he said, and sitting in the support group, listening to his fellow vets talk about their issues, he said it was like watching a movie of his life and how our marriage had deteriorated and how our family had been destroyed. And he said he had a meltdown. He just kind of lost it and went ballistic in the meeting and told the counselors, you cost me my family because nobody would take me seriously when I came to try and get help. But I believe, so there was, if we had stayed together, I know, you know, God has a plan for our lives. And we both ended up in ministry. When he passed away, he was a bishop in a church. And his wife was an evangelist. So, and I think if the enemy knew, if we stayed together and now that I'm in ministry, you know, what a force we would have been for the kingdom, integrals, you know, in this whole situation. But I am just so glad that we were, and he, you know, he apologized, you know, for hurting me in the marriage and for not being faithful. So we were able to end up in a very good place.
That's good.
You know, once we moved beyond the initial hurt and bitterness and anger. But I'm just so glad that I could let it go because I really did wish horrible things for him.
That's
when we
good.
First divorced.
Accountability is something that is lost at times. Mm-hmm. And people really do feel like they don't have to or they won't own up to whatever it is. So that's great that he was able to come back and make it right with you. Both of y'all were in a good spot.
Yes, I am grateful, very grateful for that. And for the sake of our, you know, our children, our son, I'm grateful for that.
Good. Right. Thanks, Ajere, for being very vulnerable.
Yes.
I know that had to be maybe a little tough to recall that.
It's a little tender sometimes, yeah. But I believe that God takes us through things. And I've been able to minister to so many young women and so many wives to help them. Because when God, the first couple that God had me talk to after he showed me, he said, you're going to help marriages heal and help couples stay together. And I'm like, really, God? I couldn't keep my own stuff together. He said, who better to tell them?
Right.
And so the first couple that I ever counseled, I am so eternally grateful and humble that they just celebrated their 32nd wedding anniversary.
Okay.
I have a beautiful daughter who's a traffic engineer in Raleigh, North Carolina. So
good.
I am very blessed and I've had the privilege, you know, to counsel many other couples. But the first one for 32 years, I'm just, if I had to go through what I went through to help them get to 32 years, and it was worth it.
Listen, Ajere, there are pearlies out there that I know will be able to relate to this and this is going to be good for them, right?
Okay.
Because you're a strong woman that endure all of that.
The grace of God. Many prayers, many tears.
Well, it'll be good.
All right. I pray
so. Thank you so much again.
You are welcome.
And so, of course, we're going to move over to our Ask Ajere segment. There definitely is a Pearlie out there that has a question for you. And
okay,
they need
Pearlie.
Some of that sound advice
okay.
that you have for them, okay? Dear Ajere, my wife cheated on me. I can't believe it. She didn't seem like the type. She is a conservative church girl. I want to leave her, but I love her. But she says it was just physical. So I asked her, what is physically wrong with me? She swears it's nothing. She says she just got caught up in a moment with an ex. Now, in all honesty, I have cheated too. But it's only because, as I said, my wife is conservative and doesn't do the things that I like sexually. I told her years before, but she still wanted to come to bed in a scarf and flannel pajamas. So I had to scratch that itch. Ajere,
okay.
Is our marriage worth saving, fine, forsaking all others?
Well, yes, I think the marriage is worth saving. So let's talk about, he's concerned why she cheated. What does conservative church girl. What does that mean? And he can't believe it was she just got caught up in the moment, because most often he feels that women only cheat with their heart. Well, let's just say for real, our body's got to be involved with it somewhere. Your heart's a part of it, but if you're being intimate, sexually intimate, you certainly, your body is involved. So, and she was with an ex, you know, there's an air of familiarity there with the ex. So maybe some of the things that she and the ex did that they don't, that doesn't happen in the marriage. I'm not sure that's not justification to do it, but it's familiar, and you can get temptations just sometimes come out of nowhere, and you're doing some little flirtatious things, and it just slides into a place that you can't rein it back in, and then you are caught up in a moment. You know, I can understand that from a woman's standpoint, you know, but I think it's worth talking about. You know, you got to have a conversation and find out, hear her side of it. I don't know, maybe they've already talked about it. I'm not sure. But and when you're talking about intimacy in marriage, one of the things that I tell couples, everybody has to be comfortable with whatever it is that you're doing. And I understand there may be some things that he would prefer. And there may be, you know, sometimes it's fun to get taught something different. You know, how are you approaching it? Be a lady when you're outside, but when he closes that door, I'm your baby tonight. Ought to be from your head to your toes, to your fingertips, your fingernails, your toenails, eyelid, what? Make sure. That's just what I tell them.
Freaking the sheet.
Excuse me? Freaking the sheet? Yeah.
A freaking
all day long, all night long, all weekend, whatever. Call in, whatever it takes. Keep it going.
Okay.
To keep him satisfied.
So what's interesting for me is she went back to her ex. I wonder, my question would be, how long were they married for? Because if you've had an extended period of time with your husband, surely what you did with your ex, you could do with your husband. Whatever you was missing from your ex, you could incorporate that with your husband. Because it seemed like he wants to do some different things.
Well, not if you're not communicating. How does she know what he did? You know, if you haven't talked about it, I think we talk about a whole bunch of stuff before we get married. I think we need to talk about what we're going to do sexually. I know we're not supposed to try to, you know, we don't want to have sex before marriage, but let's just talk about the world that we really live in.
All right.
But I think if you are keeping yourself pure to marriage, on the honeymoon, let's just try some stuff. Let's see what we're doing. How are we going to do this? What works? What doesn't work? Because it's got to be, and you have to be open, I believe. When we're going to talk real grown-up, there's got to be some change. We can get some spice in this thing. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody don't want to say bit the same all the time, you know, but I believe it is salvageable. I want it to be salvageable. And going back to an ex, I don't know. To me, the timeline really isn't that, because she could see somebody 10 years from now. And you still have that if you've had an intimate connection and the situation and all of the stars line up and all the stuff, you know, points to hook up. Well, sometimes it just happens.
There is not an ex that I would want to go back to.
Okay, that's you, but you can't, you can't see everybody's life through your lens. That's why we have to meet people where they are.
Agreed.
And maybe he didn't care about the head wrap and the flannel pajamas because, you know, they're coming off anyway. So what difference does it make? You come to bed.
True.
You know, so maybe it was that. And I heard the young man ask, well, why him? And why would she go to the ex and not him? Maybe it's just how the ex makes her feel. You know, we just want to feel attractive no matter what we're wearing. If we got on a bonnet and curlers, we know it's not the best look. It's not justifiable for him to flip into scratching an itch because there hasn't been enough communication to say that, because the intimate side of marriage is crucial. It is so, so critical, and so much is dependent on it. And people, you know, it shouldn't be all about it, but I guarantee you it's a whole lot about that. And it should be something that each partner is aware of. You need to, you know, I counsel my folks, that should be anything that he needs physically from a woman that he can't get from you, and vice versa. I encourage them, make sure, and you ask. And the other part is, if you're in an intimate, when you're in intimacy in your marriage, if there's something that's happening that you don't like, say that. If there's something happening that you do like, so they can, oh, Lord, if I like, please, oh, let's stay with what I like. Yes. Let's do. But how do they know if we don't talk? And it has to be real talk. And I know some of us are raised in these little prim and proper, you can't talk about sex. But when you met, you better talk about it every day. And if you can, try and hit it every day.
Oh,
just a little bit, you know, if you can. I'm telling you, because listen, now I know this is a Christian broadcast, and there's something I really would like to say, but I'm not quite sure. It might get edited, but you have got to tell my young ladies, and they say, when I'm talking to them, they look at me like, is she really an ordained minister? Because the way she's talking, I say, listen, some days you get all dressed and everything. And sometimes, and you know what, babe, before I walk out the door, I just need you. Just do a real quickie. Just hit it before I walk out the door.
I like it.
You know what I'm saying?
I like
it. Ain't nothing lacking. He is what? His feet ain't even touching the ground going to the car. And whoever that chick is at work that got her eyes on him, she don't stand a chance. Because she has, you know, the thing you have to learn is your partner's love language, the intimate love language. There's a rhythm. There, you got to know some men, once a week is fine, once an hour for others. I mean, you have to know. And you have to be willing to do that. And it's not always easy. I've heard women say they'll have to say, honey, give me 5 minutes. Let me go reset, you know, take a quick shower, bubble bath, whatever, put on some stuff or not. And I got you, you know. But the other thing, why don't he bring her some sexy lingerie? If you want to see her in something sexy, and then buy yourself something sexy too. Do they make see-through boxers?
So
you know,
hello.
Come on.
So help with whatever it is that you want.
It
to
is
see
a partnership. Let's make this thing as hot as we can make it, because it's gonna take us until we can't blow. We have to blow on the flames to keep them going, but we're gonna keep it as hot as we can for as long as we can.
You on fire all by yourself.
Because it's
like
important.
I
don't want others to miss what I missed in my marriage. That is the driver for me. I was blessed to have a relationship where the man that I had thought I was going to marry and lost, you know, in an untimely death, he loved me in a way that lasts me for a lifetime. I want other people to have that, to share that, to know what that's like. So, yeah, we're going to keep it hot.
So whenever I get married, you're going to be my marriage counselor. I'm pretty sure you're going to be an advocate for me. No fun.
Well, you know what? But see, I'll work with you, because see, my goal with all of the couples that I work with is, you know, I want the young lady, and I know some of the young men might not like to hear me say this, but I want you to go into it is, other than Jesus Christ, I'm the best thing that could ever happen to you. Okay. And if you miss it, I hate it for you.
Okay.
But you then have to become that woman. You have to do all of those things. You have to know. You have to pray and ask God to show you. You have to keep him covered in prayer. You got to know his heart. You know, God made us the rib. You know, he took us from the rib. The rib covers all of the vital organs, the heart, the lungs, everything that keeps us going. Mm-hmm. You have got to be the one that protects him. You've got to be that soft place for him to land. He doesn't have to be perfect all the time. But I do want you to keep it spicy while you're letting him have a soft place to fall.
Okay, this is a passionate subject.
It's very passionate. Because when you're with the right one, listen, don't take me down that path. But I want everybody to be happy and fulfilled in their marriage. That really is the goal. All jokes aside, and in all seriousness, my heart's desire is for you. If you feel like, and there, we have to decide what is a deal breaker in a marriage. If we can work through it and get to a better place having worked through it, isn't that really the goal? Mm-hmm. Isn't that really what we want?
Yes, ma'am.
That certainly would be my prayer for them.
Okay. Thank you very much. I will ask, do you think women cheat from an emotional standpoint or a physical standpoint?
I think it could be either or. It depends on the person. There's not a one-size-fits-all answer to that.
Okay. Would you say the same for men?
Yes, I would say the same thing, because we are emotional beings. Even though men are more logical than we are, they still have emotions. It still matters to them. They still want to feel attractive to their husband. And they may not have a six-pack. It might have slipped into a three-pack, but he's still your man. And like, you know, we can figure out how, well, we're going to tighten this thing up together, or I'm going to love you just like you are, because we really just want to know that they love us for who we are. And it doesn't have to be the package all the time. It's the heart and the spirit that really makes us lovable.
Okay. I see that. I see all of that. Thank you, as always, Jerry. Definitely appreciate it. You threw some deep pearls out there today. We went all the way down in the ocean, like in depth.
Well, yes. But because my heart is in this, I love all of you. I appreciate you. And, you know, it is such a privilege, and I'm very humbled to even ask to think that I could sow a pearl into someone's life. And like I said, all I want, there's a best in us, in all of us, that God created. And if I can do anything or say anything to help us get to that in marriage or as a single or wherever Christ has us in our life, that's all I want to do as your aunt, Jerry.
Right.
Thank you so much for joining us for our podcast today. I hope it has blessed you as much as it has blessed me. And I look forward to spending time with my pearlies again. Prayerfully, there was a pearl today that will help you move to the next place that you want to be in your relationship. So we love you and God bless you, and we'll see you soon.